This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, September 29th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Klamath water bill signed. A lifeline for landfills lagging in methane goal. And lawmakers meet with Trump about a shutdown. Newsom signs bill on Klamath water regulations. Governor Gavin Newsom has signed into law AB 263, turning emergency drought era rules into permanent minimum flow standards for the Scott and Shasta rivers. The bill sunsets in 2031 unless the State Water Board finalizes its regulations earlier. Assemblymember Chris Rogers of Santa Rosa pressed for the board to accelerate its years-long rulemaking effort for the Klamath River Basin, arguing that delayed implementation jeopardizes endangered fish populations. Tribes and other supporters say it will prevent more fish kills if the emergency regulations lapse. The board has renewed the drought rules every year since the governor first declared an emergency in 2021. Farmers and other opponents warned that the law would lock in curtailments without adequate due process or the flexibility to respond to changing hydrology. They also contend it would upend a more collaborative approach that seeks to balance the needs of the local economy. Newsom said the bill, along with four others on advancing tribal priorities he signed Friday, reaffirms our work to address historic wrongs and furthers the state's promise to tribes of inclusion and accountability. CARB unveils new landfill methane rules. California Air Resources Board has released a sweeping proposal to tighten methane controls at landfills across the state. The regulatory updates, first major changes since 2010, would require faster installation of gas collection systems, more frequent inspections, and stricter repair timelines. CARB estimates the package would cost local governments about $6 million annually to implement for their landfills. Of the 188 landfills subject to the rule, 153 already operate gas collection systems, and 140 they're government run. Why it matters? Well, CARB updated the rules to support the state's SB 1383 goal of reducing methane emissions 40% by 2030. Deploying anaerobic digesters, the dairy industry is on track to surpass its SB 1383 obligation. But landfills have fallen behind on their mandates to reduce organic waste 75% and divert 20% of the food waste to composting and other purposes. The top concern is the steep cost to comply, much of which would fall on ratepayers. Waste agencies are both struggling with inadequate infrastructure, permitting bottlenecks, and leakage issues. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Congressional leaders and Trump to meet as shutdown looms. President Donald Trump will meet this afternoon with House and Senate leaders about avoiding a government shutdown. The government will partially shut down Wednesday unless there's agreement on a short-term continuing resolution. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York told NBC's Meet the Press yesterday he requested the meeting, but Schumer cautioned that the, quote, meeting is a first step, but only a first step. We need a serious negotiation. Senate Majority Leader John Thune of South Dakota continues to rule out compromising with Democrats on extending expiring health insurance subsidies. Thune said, quote, "This is simply about keeping that appropriation process going. I don't know what we're supposed to be negotiating." Now take note, Thune doesn't see any quick resolution on the China trade standoff that's weighing on commodity markets, including his home state of South Dakota. Thune said, I'm hopeful that the administration, as a function of their trade policy, tariff policy, can get China back at the table, get them buying ag products. They certainly did that in the first Trump term, he said. Rollins touts new food aid purchases at the Supreme Court, greenlights further freezes. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins last week touted new purchases of U.S. ag commodities for foreign assistance programs. Days later, the Supreme Court paved the way for further freezes. I'm proud to announce that USDA will purchase 417,000 metric tons of commodities from America's farmers immediately, Rollins said at the AgriPulse Ag Outlook Forum in Kansas City last week. She said the buy is equal to more than 16 million bushels of row crops. So far this financial year, the administration has spent 36% of its congressionally appropriated Food for Peace dollars, 6% of its funds in the McGovern-Dole Child Nutrition Program. This is exciting news, said Kim Cooper, who she leads the government affairs at the North American Millers Association. Cooper said USDA's commitment to those programs is, quote, exactly why we believe it is the natural home for Food for Peace. U.S. Wheat Associates also praising the announcement, which includes 204,000 metric tons or 7.5 million bushels of wheat for Africa. We are beyond pleased to see today's announcement from USDA, said Dalton Henry, USW Vice President of Policy and Communications. America's wheat farmers grow the most reliable supply of high-quality wheat in the world. Programs like Food for Peace offer an opportunity to introduce our product to markets, provide assistance to those in need, and support USW's customers of tomorrow. But the Supreme Court ruled also on Friday that the administration could withhold food aid spending. The court ruled that presidential foreign policy flexibility outweighed, quote, the potential harm to aid recipients. Former ag secretaries encourage longer view of farm policy. All ag secretaries spend some time in farm country. It's important to get out of D.C. and hear what folks think U.S. agriculture should look like in the future. That was the word from former ag secretaries Dan Glickman and Mike Johanns at the inaugural Flinchbaugh Forum on Friday. They both called for convening farmers and policy experts like the Commission on 21st Century Production Agriculture, chaired by renowned Kansas State Ag economist Barry Flinchbaugh and established in the 1996 Farm Bill. The Commission released its final report in 2001. It was widely credited with a big focus on risk management. Johanns encouraged Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins to lead a similar effort and ask questions like, quote, what do we want agriculture to look like in 20 or 25 years? How are we going to compete? What brings that new day for agriculture? How do we keep young people on the farm and on the ranch? Glickman said such an effort is, quote, desperately needed long term because we're very short term right now, citing a possible government shutdown this week. I think most farm programs will continue, but I don't know if any of the employees at USDA will continue, at least for a while. It's going to be very disruptive. Glickman served as secretary from 1995 to 2001 under President Bill Clinton. When much of the report was being developed, Johanns served from 2005 to 2007 under President George W. Bush. Here's today's final word. This is exactly the kind of smart, sustainable investment California needs. At the word of Assemblymember Rhodesia Ransom of Tracy at a groundbreaking last week for a project for banking groundwater in Stockton. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, September 29th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Allen.